my dad, I've been with him the whole time. My brother, he went out and spent all his inheritance. I've been working in the field. I've been just doing unbelievable things. I've been faithful at home. And you think he'd throw me a party? Do you think he would make it? No, I'm telling you. I'm out there working. Who cares? I'm out there. Does anyone even recognize that? And all of a sudden I hear music. And man, there's like food starts coming in with catering trucks. And it's like all of a sudden, like this truck shows up and it's like my dad all of a sudden opens up this cabinet and it's the best robe in the house. I heard my brother came back home. Doesn't he know that I've been faithful here? Doesn't he know that all of a sudden, like, hey, he was out there. He did his own thing. He chose his own path. But me, I've been self-righteous. I've been doing what was right. I've been doing what was good. And you think my dad threw me a party? No. He just did his own thing. Look, the son that was lost, his son that was lost. And all of a sudden, now he throws him a party. He never threw me a party. How do you think that's fair? How do you think it's like, hey, you're absolutely right. You've been faithful in the house. You've been faithful in the field. You've been faithful to work. This son of his, he shouldn't get anything. He got what he deserved. He took the inheritance and he spent it all. In fact, some ways, I didn't even miss him. Maybe that heart was wrong, but now I'm upset, and I ain't going home. I know my dad's been calling for me. He's asking, hey, come on in, son. Let's have a party. Your son that was lost is now found, but I ain't going in there. If he wants to come, let him come see me. Turn to Luke chapter 15. And good morning, everyone. Luke chapter 15. Starting with verse 25. Now the elder son was out in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came, he drew near. He called out to one of the servants and asked, what does this mean? And he said, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fatted calf to receive him safe and sound. I want you to know that the elder son is a type of the Jews. It's a type of the Pharisees and the scribes. He's in the house, but it's a self-chosen service. I believe with all my heart that God wants each one of us sound and safe. Are you with me so far? Last week I dealt with the first son, that he was in himself unrighteous. He took whatever he wanted. Now the second son is going to be self-righteous. How many believe that both of those is a sin? Oh, it's awful quiet in here. How many believe that you can be unrighteous and do your own thing, or you can be self-righteous? I don't need anything. I'm my own God. Oh, you can make some noise in here this morning. Look at verse 28. And he was angry and would not come in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. Notice that he was angry. He was jealous. And the father came. Notice the father said he wouldn't come in, so he summoned them. Like many times when we have attitudes towards God, God will always come out and try to deal with our situation. Has anybody ever blamed the Lord for something? How many have ever been upset with God? It wasn't his fault, but you were still upset. Something happened, and man, what's up with this? Only three people? How many have ever been upset? How many ever had a brother or sister, maybe you were a little jealous that they got something that you didn't? One, two, three. How many of us, it's a reality? Can you picture this now? He comes in, he finds music and dancing. Things are going on, a party's there. In fact, this is the best party that's ever been. But now he won't come out. There are times that we get envy towards our brother, and that envy sometimes will cause, listen to me, a great heartache. Sometimes it will keep people. I want you to know this. Sometimes somebody may wrong you and they may end up having a blessed life. And you'll wonder why. Hey, why is their life blessed? I'm faithful. I do all the right things. Am I talking to anybody here? How many of us, he has some degrees like, hey, I have a right to feel the way I do. When we're faithful according to our own opinions, I want you to know that we're in a terrible place. Sometimes we can faithful to do little things, but our heart is not there. How many of us, our heart needs to be there? It's like when we come to service, we might be able to sing every word, we might be able to lift our hands, but is our heart far from him? We have to look and say, no, I want this, I want both to match. God, we've all seen sporting events, we've all seen things where people have cheered, and some people just get flat nuts. True? I've seen people paint their faces, paint everything, paint their hair, paint that, you know? I've seen people like in the middle of winter, and I don't advise this, but it's snowing out, they don't have a shirt on or a coat on. That's a little crazy, okay? I understand you're for your team, but it doesn't show them having pneumonia afterwards, though, either. But that's another question. Look at verse 30. It says this, but as soon as your son came, and he's devoured your living with harlots, you've killed the fatted calf for him. Notice there's supreme contempt towards your brother. He doesn't even say, my brother. He says, your son. There are times where we'll distance ourselves in relation so we can add to our own points. If we really believe that Jesus died for sinners, then we need to look at people as lost and those who are found. And if they're lost, they need compassion, even if they're ruthless. I don't condone their sin, but they still need the Savior. Are you with me so far? When I look at it, he's saying, listen to me, your brother. But now I'm going to make it your son. He judges his lifestyle. You've devoured your life with living with harlots. You know what? The elder brother didn't lose a thing, but he lost relationship. When our brother is in sin, how do we really respond towards it? I'm going to ask everyone in here. If the world started coming in unbelievably, they're coming in by the thousands, and with it they bring some of the worldly ways, would we be self-righteous to say, well, we don't want that here. That isn't how we do things. Or would we reach out and say, you know what? In my presence and what we do will all change. Let me ask you, how many knows that we can have churches that are self-righteous? We like our little group and no more. Oh, I'm preaching now. We need to look and say, whomsoever will may come. Just like God brought us in, how many of us, they need to be brought in. The heart of the older brother should have been this. Man, I'm so glad my brother was lost, but now he's found. But notice the wedge that's being jammed in the family. And think about the heartache of the father. That all of a sudden my son was lost and we're making a party for him. But how many of us, he still cares for the other son? How many of us that'll put a damper on what's going on? It'd be like you're having a party for your kids and two are happy and the other one's just upset as all get out. It still affects the whole thing. Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 31. And he said to him, son, you are forever with me and all that I have is yours. He divided the property among them. But notice that I have given it to you, but that's not enough. Sometimes we want more than what God has granted to us. And sometimes we don't appreciate all that we have already. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay for your own oxygen? Yes or no? Aren't you glad you don't have to put a meter out and charge yourself up all day and hopefully you got enough? Come on. It's freely given. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. The truth is that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Then now the brother's upset. When I look at this story, I can see some real parallels. But I can also see that, man, we can get to the place where when somebody gets their life right with God, it still doesn't make us happy. Say amen. It's like, well, I can't believe they got their life right with God. Doesn't she know that you can't wear that in church? Oh, I can preach that. I heard them cussing in the parking lot. Don't they know Jesus is Lord? How many know sometimes we can look through those glasses and all of a sudden see somebody else's sin and pick on it? yet we ourselves have been set free with the exact same thing. And aren't you glad that when you got saved, somebody didn't pick it all out on you? Oh, when I got saved, my spirit was made right, but the rest of it had to come along. I'm still not perfect. I know it's hard to believe. I know. Some of you are like, I'm sorry, I'm just changing your view. But one thing I knew is I'm pressing on. What's in the rearview mirror of my life, I'm driving from. Are you with me? I'm not going back to that area to say, hey, I am that. No, I'm changed from that. Well, how many of you have ever had the enemy bring back a past sin, a past temptation, and try to get you involved in it? Let me see your hand. Have you ever recognized that and go, you know what? Man, I don't need that. I'm glad I'm far from that. That means you've been delivered from those areas. The elder brother needs to be delivered from some self. Come on. The Father now goes out and meets. Even when we're upset, even when we're wrong, notice the Father always takes the first step towards us. And then if we're reasonable, He'll tell us some good things. Didn't He say, all that I have is yours? Why didn't that just change the whole conversation? You're right, I'm wrong, I've been a bonehead, I need to go embrace my brother. But even sometimes when God speaks to us, that still isn't good enough. Even when He lays it out real plain, like, hey, this is really the truth, sometimes we don't like to hear it. Amen? Look at verse 32. It was meat, what's a better word for that? It was right, good. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead, and now he's what? He's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. A lost sinner, listen to me, should be embraced and not be a disturbance to the rest. We should take the return like, God, this is so awesome. Sometime in the brother's life, I hope that he said, I pray sometime my brother comes home. I don't know. But I know the Father was looking every day for a return of his son. And I have to believe that in that house, he had to hear his father pray at least once. Lord, bring back my son. You know, I believe some people have good intentions sometime, but if we become self-righteous, we'll miss all the good intentions we ever put in. And then when God finally answers that prayer, we're not going to like it. Amen? I like what Chuck Smith, he passed on to be the Lord a few years ago. I heard a sermon one time of him that God was moving amongst the hippies at that time. He was out in California, and he just started this church, and he said, we're praying for all the hippies out there because they need Jesus. How many remember the hippie movement? It was a different era. And God began to sweep over in Southern California. And they began to come in by the hundreds. And they'd come in with their board shorts, their feet were dirty with sand. And the deacons at first says, you know what? We don't want these folks here. They got to get some good clothes on, wash themselves, or they're not coming to this church. And the pastor said this, you know what? They're coming in the way they are. We got vacuum cleaners, we can clean it up. And God moved in thousands of people. Thousands were swept in. How many of us, we have to be sensitive there. Notice one action can send it all away. We have to be sensitive that way. Now, we don't condone sin, somebody busting down the walls. How many understand that? That's foolishness. But when it comes to people, whomsoever will. Amen? Like Jeff, he swept the parking lot this morning, and he noticed that the farther you get towards the driveway, the more cigarette butts are out there. So when they're pulling in, they're chucking them and driving in. Say praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. If you got a struggle like that, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Say amen. Amen. You're going to keep you from heaven, but bless the Lord, it'll help your body. Verse 32. It says this, it is right that we have be glad. And for our brother, he was dead. Notice that he's speaking. He was dead and now he's alive. He directs him to realize, man, he's your brother too. We have to look at that. We don't cancel out them just because they're believing this way, but they're our brother too. Lord, I want to change that. Maybe God's changed something to you, made you more open towards others. That's a move of the Holy Spirit. It has to be within us. It's God's will to throw a party for his sons, not just a son. Say amen. The lost brother is found, but you know what? The brother that's been in the house has been lost all the time. You've been lost in self. How many people today out in the world are just lost in self? I'm doing my own thing. I'm my own God. Don't tell me what to do. It's my time. Amen? The other day I was sharing this witness to somebody. I said, you know what? I told them who I was. I go, we meet on Sunday. Oh, Sunday, that's my day. That is my, I don't do anything. That's my day. And I looked at him and go, you know, you're absolutely right. You got 6 other days, you're probably doing stuff. Right, Sunday's my day. I said, let me ask you something. In the scope of forever, and I'm talking about eternity time, this time here compared to forever, let me ask you this. Your time one time will run out. And then what? And they looked at me like, what? I don't get it. I said, in your life, you've given so many years here, and you can live it any way you like, but then there, it'll cost you. And what would you exchange in that moment? What Jesus asks of us is very little, true? Think about it. But what we do, we want to dedicate our hearts to Him. That's why Jesus said, if you lose your life here, you'll find it. Is God good? When I look at this parable, it's really a place between sin and grace. It's like showing that sin has two forms. It's like the self-righteous man, he remains inwardly. I'm setting my limits and my obedience. I've already done that. I've already put in my time. That can become self-righteous. I'm a good person. I don't do this. I've been out in the field. I've been working. And then the other side is that I've just lived on my own. I've been a bonehead. I've spent everything that's been good. There's moral failure in my life, and I end up in condemnation. When I look at each sin, the younger one was self-serving. He was independent. He was having freedom. But the other one, I've noticed that self-righteousness can still blind us. And we can get upset even though the Father is happy. We can get ticked off that God is happy for a situation. And if you think about it, bringing somebody that's lost in is the greatest thing ever. It covers a multitude of sins. That's what our Savior's like. He's not looking to expose your sin. He's looking to cover it and forgive it. But if you choose to be your own Savior, you will bear your own sin and be separate from a holy God. Well, how can a holy God send anyone to hell? He doesn't. We package ourselves. We reject the only hope of salvation. Then you become your own Savior, and you'll never stand in the presence of a holy God. It's impossible. Here's the next thing. Always settle this. God is always good. Always. He's always good. Whether we realize it or not, or our situation, He's always good. He never brought sin into the world. He brought a remedy for sin. How many of us were the ones that screwed it up? Can I say that in church? Amen? When I look at the elder son, outwardly, he serves. He's been faithful there. It's a mechanical obedience without the compelling power of love. It's like doing the duty, but never really having that heart and passion about it. It's like punching in your time with Jesus. Well, I guess I have to pray. I guess I have to give. How many of us, that's a different thing? The Father's looking for obedience from the heart. Our heart can grow cold. It can. And mechanically, we can work it out. But then what God wants us to do, He wants our hearts in it. When we worship, He wants us to love on Him. That should be worship. It should be across the board. Do you know what? No one can teach you that part. You just do it. How do you love? I'm just going to love Him. Lord, teach me. Yes. Others are with you. You can join in that arena. Is this good this morning? Amen. When I look today, how many people today are just looking and picking out the sins of others? Well, if this is that, if they were Christians, they wouldn't do that. How many of us Christians still make some mistakes? Amen. Yes or no? Yes. How many of you have made one mistake since you've been saved? How about a couple here? How many of you can't even list them right now? Thank God for the grace of God. Look, I serve a perfect Savior. But we can be so self-righteous and say this, well, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. And we're still just as lost. When I look today, the knowledge of sin, believe me, we're all smart in that arena. I need to be a little more naive towards sin or a whole lot more towards righteousness. Amen? Come on, today there's just new ways of inventing old sin. The Father's like a shepherd, and there's a lost sheep, and now He's looking to restore. What I love about God is He didn't just welcome His first son back, His younger son. No, I want to restore what He's lost. Isn't that a gracious God? God just doesn't save you and like you just limp on home. No, He takes what we've all done in foolishness and restores us back. But can you imagine having all the riches and not even appreciating it? Lord, help us. Amen? We can be in either condition. When I look at the younger son, his ways of descending was pride, wandering, bondage, then it turned to wretchedness. He was lost. But you know what he needed? He needed some compassion. Amen? Now, what if that was you and you finally came home? And your father said, look, bring out the fatted calf, just clothing, put a ring on, restore his shoes. And then your brother goes, I don't even want to see my brother. I don't even want to go in and talk to him. How many of you that would make you feel miserable? You're already broken. You're already hurting. Picture this now, church. What if somebody that used to be in the house of God has went out in the world and now they're just stripped of everything, even their dignity. And now they finally come back to the house of God and the people of God don't even want to talk to them. That's what it feels like. We have to be sensitive to those things. Do we condone the sin? No, we didn't want the person to leave either. But we can't be self-righteous either. We have to be there for our brother, amen? Sometimes you got to work through your own actions. Sometimes you're only, hey, I don't totally like this, but bless God, God help me, amen? Isn't that growth? The elder son should have embraced the younger one. He was the example. Oh, I can preach that. Let's not let the next generation come up be the example to us that are older. Say amen. We that have some age to us should be the example for the younger. Come on. The younger one squandered all that he had, and now he's going to get it restored. Doesn't seem fair. But that's kind of what God does. Though your sins be this way, I'll make it white as snow. Though you're lost, you'll be found. Put the best robe on him. To the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a deal. What a deal. And I often marvel, I've shared this before, that you could die right next to Jesus on a physical cross and still not get your life right with him. Only one turned. Why didn't they both turn? Same God, same anointing, same Jesus, same Holy Ghost. But it's amazing how we can have blinders upon. The Father went out to him and tried to bring a word of encouragement. But when God comes, we still need to listen, even if we feel like we're right. We need to go out and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me, Father. I believe the Father would have gave him some great counsel. If we're open to correction, listen to me, we can work through things. But if we're not, we'll take it to another level. Is this good this morning? When I look at the Father, notice his grace is sufficient for all. That he has so much resources that even though we blow it, he can still restore what we've blown away. Isn't that cool? I've never exhausted all of God's resources in my lifetime. I've never exhausted how much he loves me, how much he appreciates me, and how much he has done for me. How many times has God forgiven all of us of sins? Honestly. How many times has God reached out and said, you know what, I'm going to restore your life, even when we didn't deserve it. Now, I know there are certain times you'll reap what you sow, and there'll be some consequences for that. But you bear your own scars. You know your own struggles. Dare I say, probably change a few decisions in your life. But I can't take you back there. Neither can you go back there. Let's go on. Amen? When I look at the elder son, I kind of wish that his heart would have just like, hey, boy, I'm a bonehead. Man, I miss my brother. Do we really miss people who are lost? Or are we still too busy working out in the field? He's been gone so long that I'm not even thinking about him anymore. These are indicators. Lord, let me have a heart change. Amen? If I don't see somebody for a while, I'm concerned about their soul. It may be legitimate, but you may find out maybe they've been caught in a snare. Maybe something happened in their life. Maybe a tragedy came up. How many of those that happens? And you know, here's the true fact. Some people, if you don't contact them, they feel like you don't care for them. Well, then contact them. How many of those, that's all our situations. As your pastor, I'd love to reach everyone. I'm just a man like you all. How many of those, I need under-shepherds too? Hey, pastor, here, this is going on. Can you give that person a call? Absolutely. How many of those, that helps the pastor? Yes or no? If you were the pastor, wouldn't you want that? Amen? Now, when the father came out to meet the son, did he blast him for not coming? Did he blast him out there in the field? No, he spoke the truth in love. Jesus always does that. He said, no, we had to make a party. Come on in. Your brother was lost and now he's fine. He was dead, now he's alive. We needed to do this because I would have done this for you if you would have left. He says, all that I have has been yours. It's always been there. But one thing that we have to change is we have to keep our heart with God. It's easy to get calloused. Yes or no? It's easy to turn that area. When the father looked at the son, he's saying, listen, I love you. I'm unselfish with you. I care for you. I'll give you everything. I'll even restore. But what's our response in that? It should be humility without complaint. Amen. His assets are yours. And when we say we've never transgressed the commands, what we've done is made the law our governing factor instead of the law of liberty in Christ. We've held it down to the very letter. I've done this, 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 and this, yet our heart is far from Him. The law in the Old Testament was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But sometimes we get so legalistic, we miss the whole point. It's kind of quiet this morning. You guys enjoying this? Or is it like, hey, whatever? When I look at Jesus, man, He never makes losers, only winners. Only winners. One day He'll read your name from the Lamb's Book of Life in Revelation. Can you imagine? Well done, good and faithful. How many think that would be the greatest joy ever? How many, when He reads your name, it's like, cool, I'm counted worthy in that area because Jesus made me fit. How many will take the crown that whatever He gives you, when you see Him, you'll take it and just cast it at His feet? How many will do that? Because of what He's done for us. But I can see if we're self-righteous in those things, it's like, yeah, this is my Father, whatever. My Father, He loves people who don't know how to live right. My Father loves people who spend all their inheritance and waste it all. You see how that sounds? See how conceited that is? Yet that can be our portion. And we can believe that because that's the way it is. You didn't throw me no party. You never killed the fatted calf for me. You never did that for me. And now your son, not my brother, but your son, sounds pretty similar to Adam and Eve. When she sinned, the woman you gave me. Not my wife, the woman. It's always a woman, amen? It is, it's always a woman. Every lady's giving me that eye, hey. And every guy's got a smirk on his face. Don't blame me. It's scriptural. It's the woman. I'm just kidding. I mean, as we've all sinned. Even if we were perfect, we still blew it. But we're quick to blame your brother, your son, your. Amen? The father enjoyed everything with both his sons. But now the complaints are in his ear. He's trying to do what is right, but yet it's being. When I look today, Jesus is on the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe. He saved others. Let's see if He can save Himself. Is this not Joseph? His brothers and sisters are among us. Isn't He the carpenter's son? Notice all these words. I wonder How many people remember spitting in his face when he's going to the cross? And when he had the burlap bag over his head and they were punching him. Who hit you? Prophesy! Who hit you? Notice what Jesus has taken for all of us. Not only the physical abuse, but the verbal abuse. And yet he's always there with love. He's always there with concern. Both boys needed an overhaul. Would you say you'd agree to that? Like all of us in here, if we're unrighteous, let's get it right. If we're self-righteous, let's repent and change. Because God can change the hardest heart. It only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. We also need to be ready. I am believing for the world and those that have been away from God for a while to return into God's house. I really am. I have that burning deep within me. I have a prophetic word that God's going to do this. That some are going to be so restored, they're going to want to come up and give a testimony of what God did in their life. And the vision I had from the people was this. People got up and celebrated. That is so cool! Not that you were lost in sin, but that you've been found and saved. Are you with me? How many think that's a whole change? That's a different environment. But woe unto the churches when they come in and they get treated like the younger. Woe unto the churches, and the Father's heart is broken and wants us to be merry. If all the angels rejoice over one sinner, how much more we as the church should rejoice with that? I want to ask you this morning, is there areas that maybe a little self-righteous is in there? Lord, help me. Come on. Or maybe there's still an area that you're dealing in unrighteousness, and Lord, I want to change that. There's no little sin, it's just sin. You don't sin just a little, it's just sin. Are you with me? Yeah. And all sin is against the King. Love needs to be our portion. If the love doesn't change us, then we'll allow sorrow and trouble to always get our attention. Lord, let me change. Amen? And church, we can be that church that whomsoever will may come. Out of every tribe, kindred, and nation, whomsoever will may come. That we need to be ready. Church, can we be ready? Amen. Do you enjoy this morning? Father, help us, Jesus. Lord, as we look at these two brothers, Lord, as even the scope of all humanity, that Father, I know I've been in both arenas. I've been unrighteous and self-righteous. Forgive me. Change me, Lord. Father, when you come out to greet us, it's always with the same heart. To restore, to love, and to bring the restoration we need. Jesus, I pray, Lord, none of us will ever have a heart to look at somebody else and say, that's somebody else's problem. But we'll have a compassion for our brothers and sisters. With your heads bowed here, I want to ask you, how many need more compassion for those that are lost and those that need to return? Just lift up your hand. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Secondly, there, how many have an area of your life where the Lord's dealing with? There's some areas that you know you need to get victory over. You're praying, you're working through it, but there's some areas that you know you still need to work on. Let me see your hand. How many of you? Okay, keep working on it. And let's be honest here, church. How many times have been kind of self-righteous? You got the mechanical side down, but Lord, I need more love with that. I'll be honest with you. I've had it too at times. Lord, change me. And last here, how many need to be humble in God's presence, that He loves unconditional, that He always brings good things for His kids? How many need a fresh revelation? Lord, I need it too, Jesus. Lord, as a church, Lord God, work in us. If there's any area this morning that you need, ask Him, Lord, help me in this situation. That's your altar call today. Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to reach a world that needs you. Lord, to compel them to come in. And Lord, not to be self-righteous on who we are. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power. And Lord, bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen.